All right. You still glad to be here today?
Yes.
All right. All right. Good. Good. I want us to grab our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings. If you're wondering where 2 Kings is, it's right after 1 Kings. Okay. That's why they pay me the big bucks here, folks. And 2 Kings chapter 7. How funny. And I put in my notes, it's to verse 89, and that'd be a long passage. It's actually starting in verse 3, 2 Kings chapter 7, starting in verse 3. We are in the midst of a series that we began about a month ago now, and we're calling it Great Expectations, Great Expectations. And the whole point of this series is to lay out for you what God expects of you. We all have a lot of expectations from God because we have so many promises in the Word, and rightfully so, because how many of you know God will always be true to His Word? Can you say amen? But on the flip side, God has expectations of His followers. God has expectations of me, and He has expectations of you. And here's the great thing. God is not like this overbearing parent who has such high expectations that you could never achieve them. In fact, not only does God have big expectations on all of us, but He also equips us to be able to fulfill those expectations. Let me say that again. Not only does God have big expectations of us, but He equips us, He gives us the power and the strength to be able to fulfill those expectations. So you don't have to do this alone. And every expectation that God has of you, you can attain. Are you with me so far? I only got one amen. Okay, all right, all right, all right. You still with me? So I want to lay some things out for you today, but let's review real quick. The first time we looked at this series on October the 1st, we mentioned that God wants us to be, anybody remember? Worshippers. Oh. It was written there, so you all guessed it right. Worshippers, okay? Then the next week, we challenged us to realize that God expects us to be what I call watchers. Watching the times around us as they relate to the world, especially as God is, I think, preparing to wrap things up here. Last week, we looked at the fact that God expects us to be warriors, fighters, fighting in prayer for the blessings from God and the answers from God. Today, I want to take a look at 2 Kings chapter 7 and challenge us with this. God's great expectation for us this week is that we would be what I call walkers. Walkers. Don't say Texas Ranger. Walkers. Any fans of Walker, Texas Ranger in here? All right. The poor unknown person in the first 3 minutes who dies. It's like the guy in the red shirt on Star Trek. You know they were doomed, you know? Anyway, let's get off that. God expects us to be what I call walkers. And I'm taking a look at 2 Kings 7, verse 3, and I want to take a look at the situation that four men with leprosy we're dealing with. And I want to compare that to your spiritual life today. Let's read it first, and then we'll elaborate on it more. Will you stand with me in honor of God's word as we read this together, if you're able to? 2 Kings chapter 7, starting in verse 3, and let's take a look at this together. If you don't have your Bible, you can read off the screen, and it'll be pretty similar to what I'm reading here. Verse 3 says this, "Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die?" they asked each other. "We will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there, so we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. If they kill us, we would have died anyway." That's just a positive outlook on life, isn't it? All right, well, let's keep going, let's keep going. "So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans, but when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us, they cried out to one another. So they panicked and they ran into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. So all this is happening while the lepers are making their way to the Aramean camp, all right? So verse 8, look what happens. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing, and they hid it. I want to challenge you to be a walker today. And whether you know it or not, each one of us is one. We just have to decide which direction we're going. So let's pray. Father, I ask you that you would speak to every single one of us in here. Lord God, some of us, we are new to this Christianity thing. And God, I pray that you would speak to us in a great way. Others of us, Lord, we've been followers of you for a very long time. But God, this message is still applicable to our lives as well. So Lord, I pray that you would speak to every single person here today. And Lord, have your way in our lives. In your name. And we all said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, here's kind of the setup of the story, okay? First of all, let's explain what's going on with these lepers. If you had leprosy, well, first of all, if you don't know what leprosy is, leprosy was a really bad skin disease that would eat away at your flesh and at your limbs and your fingers, and sometimes parts of your body would just fall off. You would literally be beside yourself. I'm sorry. That's an awful joke. It's terrible. But you'll use it someday. So because their condition was so bad, and because it was rather contagious, lepers were typically banished from where the community was, where civilization might be. Well, they find themselves not only banished outside the city gate, but now they also find themselves in the midst of a famine. And things aren't very good within the city, things aren't very good outside of the city, and these lepers find themselves outside the city gates saying, what are we going to do? And we pick up on this story with where we began our reading today. And I would say the key verse for us is going to be verse 4. And I want to throw it on the screen one more time. Verse 4 says, and the lepers are talking amongst each other, and they say, we will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. If they kill us, we would have been dead anyway. And believe it or not, I believe that I can accurately compare every spiritual life in this place to these lepers and the direction that we might be going today. The direction that I might be going in my spiritual life, the direction that you might be going in your spiritual life. I believe that the same options that the lepers considered are the same options that I want to give you today. And you have a choice today. I'm going to give you a choice today to take one of these three options. Oh, this is going to be so good. Y'all ready? Okay, here's the first one. You have the option, you have the choice to walk backward, to go back. The lepers were considering what they should do, and one of those options was returning into the city. And today I will tell you that you, as an individual in this place, you have an option this morning to go backwards in your spiritual life. Let me pause here and say that God will never make you take a certain direction spiritually. God will never force you to succeed. God will never force you to do anything at all. God's a perfect gentleman. And he wants you to choose to serve him because you want to, not because he makes you do so. See, otherwise we'd just be a bunch of robots. Otherwise, Jesus really wouldn't have even had to go to the cross, right? He would just make us live the life that we need to. He would make us serve him. He would make us count him as Lord and Savior. But that's not the case. In fact, I would say that we have to be very deliberate in our walk with God. And this is not just a weekly thing or a monthly thing or a yearly thing. Okay, I'm not doing so good in 2017, but in 2018, I'm going to be a good Christian. I don't think that your walk with God is supposed to be a New Year's resolution. I think it's a daily decision. It's a daily decision. So your first option today is to take the backward route, to go back. We see it displayed again in verse 4. They said, with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So they're outside the city gates, and they say, well, if we go back, we're just going to die. We're just going to starve to death. And for many of us here, you need to understand that where you are spiritually, God has brought you to this point. You have chosen to serve God to this point, and to try to go backwards now in your faith in God. May I suggest to you that what is waiting for you with that decision is spiritual starvation, spiritual death, not life, no satisfaction. In fact, some might ask, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What does it look like to go backwards? What does that mean to go backwards in our walk with God, in our faith? And for some, that might be kind of an obvious answer, but let me show you what it looks like for some of us when we go backwards, when we go back in our relationship with God. Walking backward can look like a number of things. First of all, it can look like returning to a sin that you once walked away from. It can look like returning to a sin that you once walked away from. And whatever that is, I'm not going to give you the dirty deeds list. Don't smoke or chew or drink or date girls that do. But the thing, or guys. But here's the deal. If God has brought you out of something, don't go back there. That's not the answer. And the problem is, some of us, maybe our identity has been so wrapped in a bad choice that we made years ago, and we just kept on thinking that, well, that's my identity. That's my identity. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a sinner. I'm a pervert. I'm this. I'm that. And we label ourselves of what we used to be. See, here, and I don't want to make anybody too mad here today, just a little, but not too mad. But I don't think that the blood of Christ is less powerful than the labels that our culture places on individuals. I don't believe once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I think Jesus can deliver somebody from that. I don't believe that once an addict, always an addict. I believe that the blood of Christ is greater than all of that. I don't believe that once a person caught up in immorality is stuck that way. I believe that God can deliver you. Now, you might have some elements in your personality that you got to deal with. You might have some things that would say, okay, I'm kind of an obsessive compulsive person. Exhibit A. So you might need, I'm telling you, I am, by the way. If the pens out in the lobby are different from each other, I fly into orbit. But you pray for me, okay? So some of us, we just might be just so obsessive. And so, and maybe our personalities are rather addictive. And we might think, well, I guess that's who I am. That's not who you are through the blood of Jesus Christ. You're his child. You are not identified by your sin. You are identified by your Savior. Oh, that is so good. Your identity is not found in your wrongdoings. You are identified with the cross. That's where your identity is. OK? okay? So we have no business going back to something that God has brought us out of. Not at all. Don't go there. It might seem fun, but I'm going to tell you there's starvation that exists if you go there. There is. There is. Well, I can handle it now. No, you can't. I'm just going to tell you, you can't. We cannot handle sin. That's why we needed a Savior. So don't go back there. Secondly, not only does it look like a returning to a sin that we once walked away from, but maybe it also looks like embracing a bad attitude that we once got rid of. See, y'all amen me when I talk about crack or alcohol, but you won't amen me when it comes to cruddy attitudes. And I will tell you, that it is easy to slip back into this thing, to be taken out of a judgmental, critical type of attitude, only to return to that. Because you're so insecure in yourself, the only way that you're going to be secure is trying to criticize somebody else. And you have yet to identify with the fact that Jesus is your Savior and you're Jesus' child. And it doesn't matter what anybody else does or who you are or what they are. What matters is what Jesus thinks you are. Amen. So many bad attitudes are really just insecurity. And we have yet to really figure out who we are in Christ Jesus. Or we don't want them to touch our stuff. Don't touch my stuff. I like my stuff. I like my attitude. Some of us love the bad attitude. And we wonder why we have no friends. Unless they have a bad attitude. Because flies tend to... Never mind. So, swarm. That's all I was going to say. Flies tend to swarm. So listen to me. Listen to me. If God has delivered you from a judgmental attitude, don't go back there. If God has delivered you from a critical attitude, don't go back there. If God has delivered you from anger, don't go back there. And I'm telling you, that's going to be tested. I've made myself kind of open to y'all before. That's one area where God has had to deal with me, is getting angry, overly angry about the littlest, stupidest things sometimes. I'll just be honest with you. And God's had to say, oh, hey, you need to relax on that. You need to chill on that. Because to be quite honest with you, the energy that I would put into getting angry at somebody should have been focused on trying to love on somebody. It was just a cheap imitation. Are you getting anything out of it? Do you love the pastor still? Okay. I'm just dropping stuff here today. Lord, okay. Just clean it up, God. How about this? How about giving up on a new spiritual discipline? You know, maybe God has dealt with you about your prayer life, and you have... You've done that for a while, but there was a point where there was a little lack of discipline. And you know what that is? You're going backward. You stopped reading God's word. You stopped praying. Church attendance is not a priority. Serving God is not anything in your radar at all. It used to be, but it no longer is. Maybe you've fallen into a sin that you've never been a part of before. For a lot of us, I was raised in church. A lot of you are or were. And this direction is kind of a no-brainer. We called it backsliding. Now we just call it a problem. But we called it backsliding. We would go backwards in our walk. And many of us, we know that this is something we should avoid. But the second option that I want to offer to you that the lepers considered, I will tell you, is just as dangerous. It's just as toxic. And it could lead to starvation and spiritual death. The first option was to walk backward and return. The second option, though, is to walk nowhere and remain. Now, this one, I think this could be, if we're not careful, this direction will become an epidemic in the 21st century church. I really believe this. Again, the lepers, they're all talking. They're saying, well, we can't go there. And we can't just see what I'm doing. So we'll just stay right here. We'll just remain here. And they said, well, we can't do that. Because if we just stay here, we'll die. But I will tell you that so many followers of Jesus Christ have taken this option. Because we got the whole heaven, hell thing worked out. So we think, well, why do anything else? As long as I get to heaven, as long as I crawl through those pearly gates, crawl on those streets of gold, nothing on my crown, but I'm just going to, I'm going to barely get there. Hallelujah. I don't think that's God's plan. I don't think it's God's plan for us just to remain where we are spiritually. I've shared this before. My son just turned 18 Friday. And so I was doing a lot of reflecting this week and finding all the little soccer pictures, you know, when he was three and nothing fit, and it was just funny. And parents, you might remember this. Remember the growth spurts? Like, well, wait a minute. Those pants fit last week. Now they look like knickers. I mean, what's going on here? What happened? And that's what our kids do sometimes, right? They just have this growth spurt where, you know, he's no longer up to my waist, but now he's like up here and almost, you know, getting equal to me. It's like, when did this happen? When did this take place? And I would ask, when's the last time that we had such a spiritual growth spurt that it caused people around us to take a look at us and say, wow, when did this happen? When did you become like this? When did you become so much stronger? This is incredible what's happened to you. You're not the same person that you were. You're different in a good way. When's the last time any of us had a spiritual growth spurt? When's the last time that we were more in love with Jesus than we'd ever been before? When is the last time that we allowed the Holy Spirit to do such a work in our lives that we aren't the same that we were before? Or have we gotten so content in our spiritual lives, or have we gotten so busy with other things? Have we gotten so distracted by, quote, life, that we haven't really given our walk with God much attention? And so we know we're not backsliding. It's not like we're falling back into sin. It's not like we're going to go to what we were before we really got serious with God. But to be quite honest with you, we haven't grown a whole lot since then. Or maybe God gave us a moment. Maybe God really spoke to us in a sermon or in a service or when we were reading God's word or whenever that might have happened, but God really spoke to us. But it's been so long since that moment. You see, this option is just as dangerous as going backward. Because the leper said, well, if we go back there, we starve and die. If we stay here, we starve and die. Spiritually, if you go backwards, you starve and die spiritually. If you remain where you're at, you starve and die. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. I've said before that when we stop growing, we start dying. But the same consequences await us if we choose to remain dormant and I walk with God. And do you know who I'm primarily speaking to? I'm speaking to church people today. Those of us like me that have been around God for a while, we've been around church for a while. And we almost become experts at this thing. I use experts in quotes. We almost reach the point where we think that we've kind of attained it all. I got it. I know the drill now. And God would say, oh no, you don't. Not even close have you learned what I have for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for his children. You have no idea what waits before you if you remain nowhere. See, remaining spiritually unchanged, I believe, is often the first step to spiritual destruction. And it happens slowly and very subtly. And you know what happens? Maybe you've experienced this, maybe you're in the middle of it now, but deception begins to come in. You begin to believe things that you shouldn't believe. Stuff that's not even in the Bible, but it kind of tickles the ears, and so you say, hey, I believe it. You find yourself, little by little, you're less committed to the things of God. And then all of a sudden, little by little, you begin spiritually just to wither away. And maybe you were once a champion for the Lord, but you become only a shadow of what you once were. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to tell you that this is one of the lies that the enemy will tell us. That, okay, you don't want to go backwards? Fine, just don't move. At least you're going to heaven. That's not God's plan for you. In fact, I will even say that if we're not careful, we can even let our salvation slip out of our hands because we have no longer given God any kind of thought or attention or any priority in our lives. And if I can rescue a church person today from that, through God's Holy Spirit, hear me today. This is not your option in life. This is not God's plan for you just to go nowhere. God's plan for you is actually the final option that I have for you today. Yes, you have the option of going backward and returning. You have the option of going nowhere and just remaining. Or you have the option today of going forward and doing what I call restarting. Restarting things spiritually. Now, some of you might say, well, preacher, I've been around a long time. I've been saved longer than you've been alive. And that's great. But I will tell you that there is still a destination for you to go in your spiritual life. You might say, well, pastor, I'm kind of new to this stuff, and so this seems kind of overwhelming to me. I don't see how I could pull this off. This is for you. Because as the Bible says in the book of John, as many as receive him, to them he gave them the power to become the sons of God. So it's not through your efforts, it's through God's efforts in you that you do this. You just need to be willing for him to do it. But take a look again at verse 4. They said, so we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. And I want to examine this option. Because today I'm not going to ask you to go buy a big spandex suit with a big letter S on the front and become super Christian tomorrow. In fact, the thought of many of us in spandex is really not a good thing. There we go. Biggest amen we've gotten all day. So I'm not asking you to be a superhero today. But my question is going to be this. What will that first step look like? If you take this challenge, if you take this option, if you say, God, this is what I want to do. I want to move forward in my walk with you. What does that first step look like? I don't want us to plan the next 20 steps. I just want us to plan that first one. What's that first step? What changes tomorrow? What do you do differently tomorrow? I'm not asking if you're going to be this great theologian, you know, start your own Bible college. I'm not saying that. I'm just wondering, what does that very first step look like tomorrow? What does this option look like? Well, first of all, look what all this involves. You ready? First of all, I want to invite you to take a chance. The lepers are looking at each other and they'll say, well, let's take a chance. Let's see what happens if we go to the army of the Arameans. They were the enemy. Normal thought would be this. If somebody from the enemy goes to the army of the Arameans, they're saying, hey, how are you? We're four lepers we're four lepers. We're four people, and we're surrendering. Okay, a lot of people wouldn't last the introductions. Okay, so they know that there's actually a risk involved here. That first step that I want, that chance that I want you to take a risk and do something that maybe is out of your comfort zone or your routine. Something that you're not sure if you can do it. In fact, it's only with God's help that you could do this. What might that be? You mean I might have to get up 15 minutes earlier? That's when I hit the snooze 9 times. Yeah, maybe. You mean I'd have to do something a little bit different than surf Facebook all day and play Candy Crush all day long? Yeah, maybe. I'm not mocking Facebook or Candy Crush, I'm just saying. You mean maybe put the video games down? And this used to be just for teenagers, but it's no longer that. And maybe focus on Jesus a little bit? Yeah, maybe. What might God do where it might involve you taking a chance? Well, I'll just do something comfortable. I'll just do something easy. Surrendering to an enemy army was not easy. Hey, this will be simple. We might die. Death and life are not hanging in the balance here, folks, but your comfort zone might be. Could you just take a chance and do something that the Holy Spirit is beginning to deal with, maybe even right now? Not only would I like you to take a chance, but I'd like for you to totally surrender. What do I mean by that? Hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. When my son was playing soccer, I would, when the game was over, I would always ask him the same question. And it was, did you score any goals? If not, then he was grounded. No, I'm kidding. So I didn't ask him that. I knew I was at every game. But I would ask him this, did you do your best? Did you give everything out there? That's what I want to know. Were you completely devoted to that game and to your teammates? If you are, I'm proud of you. I don't care how many goals you scored. I don't care how many assists you got. I don't care how many yellow cards you got. Well, maybe. But all that other stuff, that's not important, but did you do your best? And what I want to challenge you to do today is not only take a chance and maybe do something out of your comfort zone, but see, when you surrender, what are you doing? You are turning over everything. You are completely devoted to this idea that you are no longer in charge. When you surrender to somebody, you have totally lost charge. You have totally lost lordship. And you've turned it completely, not to an enemy king, but to the King of Kings. I want to challenge you to take a chance, totally surrender, thoroughly trust God. I don't know how I can do this. You don't have to know. Just trust God. I don't know how I can read my Bible every single day. Trust God. Here's the thing I've noticed. When I have kind of laid it out there and say, God, I need to do this, I want to do this, I have found that he has given me opportunities to succeed. I have found that he has given me opportunities to become closer to him. And that's precisely what he'll do. Did you see what happened when the four lepers said, hey, let's just go over to the camp of the Arameans and let's just surrender. If we die, we would have died anyway. If they accept us, well, hey, at least we'll have a place to stay. But did you read what happened? God went before them, caused them to think that they were being attacked by another enemy. All of the people in the Aramean camp freaked out, run away, they abandoned their camp, and here's these four starving guys showing up. Hello? We're surrendering here. We're here to just turn ourselves in. What's left of us? These leprosy jokes are just terrible. I even have a leprosy song. I'm not going to sing it, but it's so bad, Bible college things. Here we are, and there's nobody there. There's nobody there. Whoa. I guess we don't have to worry about dying because we just came into an abandoned camp here. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you totally trust God, when he begins to lead you in a positive direction like he always will, and when you obey that leading, you will find out that there, the thing that you feared the most was really nothing for you to fear to begin with. I'm afraid that somebody might reject me. First of all, so what? But secondly, you might be surprised how God goes before you and just arranges things and makes things work out. And the very thing that you feared the most, by obeying the leading of the Holy Spirit, you'll find out that God already took care of that even before you got there. Take a chance, totally surrender, trust God, and then treasure the blessings. These guys think they have a death sentence. They think they're going to starve to death. They show up to surrender, no one's there, and they're like, all this is ours. It'd be like being locked in Krispy Kreme all night long. Like, this is the greatest day of my life. And they find all the treasure and all the food and all the drink and everything that we didn't have before. Now we've been blessed with. Oh, everything you didn't have before, when you follow God's leading and you go forward in your walk with God, everything you didn't have before, God will bless you with it. Because here's the deal. God's blessing will follow our obedience to him. If you do it God's way, again, you do it God's way. That's when the blessing takes place. Not when you do it your way, but when you do it God's way. See, today, every single person in here, you have the potential to be greater spiritually than you've ever thought you could be. And before you today, regardless of how long you've been a follower of Jesus, before you today are three options. You could go backward. And maybe some of us have done so. God's message to you is this: stop right there. Turn around. It's time to repent. Repentance is not just saying sorry. Repentance is saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to go the right direction. So I'm not asking you to give God some cheap I'm sorry. I'm going to challenge you to make a change. Or maybe it's not a matter of going back to the past life, but maybe you've just kind of been dormant in your spiritual life, and you've really not grown at all, and you're thinking, I can't remember the last time I was any closer to God than I am right now. Or maybe your closest to God is just a distant memory. God would say, that's not the option. don't be just content getting your get out of hell free card. I've got a direction for you, the Lord would say. I've got an option for you, God would say, and that's to go forward. Take a chance, totally surrender, trust God, and just live in the blessings, treasure those blessings that God will have as you do so. But, and in fact, look what Paul had to say. Philippians 3, not that I've already attained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ took hold of for me. Brothers and sisters, I did not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Paul, I press on. The greatest missionary of all time, I press on. The one who was trained in theology more than any of us could ever think of, Paul. The one who had experiences with God that none of us will ever probably realize unless God does something pretty crazy and dramatic. Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So my question is this, what is your first step? Don't give me 20. Don't plan some marathon today. What's your first step? What will we do spiritually differently tomorrow than we're doing right now? What is that first step? Again, for some of you, it might be reading your Bible consistently. Maybe it's praying to God. And please, okay? Like any other discipline, don't think you're going to become an expert overnight. Build that discipline. Maybe for you it's just reading one chapter a day. Maybe it's praying to God. Maybe just give him 10 minutes since we really don't give him much during the week. Maybe for you then, I can give him 10 minutes. I can give him my commute. And turn the radio down and just focus on him. Maybe it's sharing your faith. Maybe you haven't told a person about Jesus in a long time, if ever. Maybe that's your first step. Maybe it's just becoming obsessed with your personal testimony. And there's times where you kind of let it go, and maybe you want God to help you just take that step and say, I'm going to live it out in front of everybody. Maybe it's saying no to something that's bad for you spiritually. You've said yes so many times. Maybe it's not going someplace physically because it always leads to something bad. Just take that first step. What's your first step? Take a chance. Surrender. God will go before you. And get ready for the blessing because it's coming. Amen? Will you stand with me? I want to put you at the city gate today. And I want you to experience the same options that the lepers had. This morning, if you have found yourself going backwards, today is the day for you to stop right where you're at, turn around, and do things God's way. Or maybe just spiritually you've been kind of dormant. God's saying, no more of this. It's time to grow. It's time to take that first step. What will be your first step? Can we bow our heads right now? I just want to make this a moment where we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And so here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that God would right now drop that first step in the minds and the hearts of every individual that's in this place here today. You know where you are in your spiritual life. You know where you're at in your spiritual journey. What needs to be that first step? Holy Spirit, would you reveal that to us now? Put that dream, put that idea in our minds, God. Speak to us right now. Right now, Lord God. From the veteran believer to the person who's maybe just days old in this thing, speak to us, God. What's that first step? It may be tough, it may be out of our comfort zone, but Lord, show us what that first step is. And God, I hope that step even frightens us a little bit, because there's no way we can succeed without you. Those are the kind of steps I want us to take, Lord. By no means a baby step. God, help us to take a giant step believing in you and be totally committed to that. Totally committed. Speak to us now, God, in Jesus' name. God, speaking to people right now about your time in God's word, that's from God. God is speaking to people right now about your prayer life, that is from God. God is speaking to people right now about saying no to something that they've regularly been saying yes to, that is from God. God is speaking to you about sharing your faith with somebody that you come in contact with regularly. That's from God. That's from God. Speak to your people, God. Now I want to give you a chance to pray about that first step. Will you do that? Will you do that? Just say, God, help me. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by your Spirit, Lord. Pray to him about that. And if it's a, God, I don't know if I could do this prayer, oh, you go ahead and pray that. Because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it. You can do it through him. You can do it. God, I pray for ideas to become dreams. And I pray those dreams, Lord God, would become lifestyles. Speak to us, God. God, if there be somebody who has given in to temptation, I pray, Lord God, that freedom would take place today. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, God. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a chance to spend some time personally with the Lord if you would like to. I'm going to close in prayer. When I say amen, if you feel you need to spend some time with God, do so. If God's released you, we can fellowship in the lobby. But let's seal these steps with the Spirit of God, and let's talk to him about it. Lord, I ask you that today would be a day of beginnings, of walking in the direction you want us to walk. And God, I pray that you have defined first steps in this place today. You just did it a few moments ago. So now, Lord, that is not by accident. We receive that. We believe it. We will go your direction. Give us the strength and the courage to do it, Lord. Change us. And I'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to pray, feel free to do so right now. If God's released you, God bless you. We'll see you again soon. Hallelujah.